As I mentioned, and you have two outlines in your possession. One of them is from 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night. And I gave you a person on the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you and I were baptized, we were promised in Acts 2 verses 38 and 39, the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter went on to say, for the promise is to you and your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so that reception of the Holy Spirit will aid us in attitude and action fruit. That's the goal. That's the when God not only forgave us of our sins, but gave us his Holy Spirit. So here are the next two in that singular fruit of the Spirit. And I underlined that in your parentheses, in your notes. It's not fruits. It's fruit. That you see, we need to encapsulate all of these things in one. It's not like the Christian graces that Peter talks about, add this to that and pile on. No, when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it aids you in all of these things. So don't look at it, oh, I need to do this one, then work on the next one. No, you need to work on all of these at the same time. I like definitions, as you know, when I preach, because not only does the definition give you the definition of the word, but many times in the definition you get the application. So we see when a word is defined. So the next one is the word peace in this list of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, like joy, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, describes an inner peace that's not affected by external circumstances. In the definition of the word peace, it describes a harmony relationship with God, or harmonious relationship with God and with one another. We're at peace. Peace. It describes a contentment that frees us from a harmful anxiety. This peace frees us from an anxiety that would take us away from the work or the ministry or the service. There's a peace that's to be ours. That's that fruit of the Spirit, peace. Meaning it's not man-made. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. In Psalm 34, verse 14, says, seek peace and pursue it. In other words, this fruit of the Spirit, we need to be actively involved in that in our hunt, or we want to search it out. It's a quest on our part. I want this fruit of the Spirit to be involved in my life, in my action, in my attitude. Pursue it. It's the idea of you pursue peace with the objective of finding it. Search it out. It means to reach or accomplish if you're going to pursue peace. Put some effort into it. Discover and develop it. Peace. Just like love and joy in the lesson 2 weeks ago. In Romans 12, verse 18, it says, if it's possible, as much as depends, an interesting phrase, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. See, this peace, or this peaceable fruit in me, will move me to do what I can to live in peace with others and with God. As much as depends on me. See, I can't control somebody else's action in the peace process. But I can control mine. As much as depends on me. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee youthful lusts. I think elderly ones too. I always add that to the verse. Flee youthful lusts, flee elderly lusts too. but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Peace? Yeah. Hebrews 12, verse 14 again says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Peace sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Significant. Now put in your notes some attitudes that will help us produce peace. And this fruit of the Spirit will, I put three things. First of all, love God's word, fruit of the Spirit. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace. That's what I want. In Psalm 119, verse 47 says, I'll delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I'll lift up to your commandments, which I love. I'll meditate on your statutes. In verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Great peace have those who love your law. So this, an attitude that will help produce peace, this fruit of the Spirit, peace, is to love God's word. Second, you want to apply God's word to your Christian life. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, don't forget my law or God's word. Let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Oh, the value of God's word. Love it and apply it. And then stay on God's side and trust him. And I put in your notes, when I look over my notes this afternoon, and I usually go back and I'll have my Bible out and I'll read, look up that verse. It's chapter 26, not 25, in your notes. So you'll have to change that. So Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Peace. So there's an attitude that will help produce peace, this fruit of the Spirit. When you love God's word, apply it in Christian living, stay on God's side, and trust him. Peace. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Peace. That's what I want. I put also this peace is described many times in our hymns. Hymn number 477 in our book. It says, there's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Second stanza. There's a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Third stanza, there's a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. The chorus says, O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is because he trusts in the Lord forever. Peace, what I want in my life. Another song we sing, Blessed Assurance. That last stanza, perfect submission. All is at rest. Peace. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. So this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And then that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," in hymn number 490. It says, "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Peace. It's not dependent on outward circumstances. Peace. Second stanza, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought." Now, here's the glorious thought. "My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul." And it repeats it. "It is well with my soul." Peace. Fruit of the Spirit. Peace. There's a spiritual contentment in peace. I put in your notes too. Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing." In other words, don't let your anxiety over things take you away from the work or your ministry, your service. Don't be that anxious that you withdraw. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Lord." Of God, the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, there's a peace of God to be enjoyed. And again, it's not determined by external circumstances. A peace of God. There's a peace in the midst of storms. In my relationship with God, there's a peace that I can find. You know, sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes God calms me. Sometimes God calms both the storm and me. There's a peace that's for us. The fruit of the Spirit, that relationship with God, that promise that He gave us, remission of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that involves this fruit. And in our list of things in that fruit is peace. Peace. I put in your notes too, there's a hindrance to peace. Romans 3, verse 17. "The way of peace they have not known, because there's no fear of God before their eyes." People that don't fear God can't know the peace that's being described here. The world offers you maybe a temporary relief, but when God's not in the picture, there's no fruit of the Spirit peace. And this fruit of the Spirit peace offers real peace and contentment. The next one is long-suffering. That, by definition, patient endurance with others. Yes, with others. Lovingly bearing, and this word is always associated with others in the text. Any verse where you find the word long-suffering, you're going to see it with others. With others. There's something about this spiritual fruit that wants me to get along with others. So you have, by definition, it's endurance with others, bearing with others. And if you turn that word around, long-suffering, oh, it's suffering long. Yeah. There's just some times and situations that we just need to bear with one another. Spiritual fruit. What does spiritual living look like? I gave that title in the first lesson two Sunday nights ago. Ah, it's long-suffering with others. See, we don't all look alike. We don't all have the same attitude, dispositions, outlook, ways of doing things, priorities. We have our bias. We have our likes, our dislikes. And yet we have to get along. Long-suffering. In Romans 2, verse 4, the attitude and action. "Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, His forbearance, His long-suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." Oh, God's patient with us, isn't He? In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, but the day of the Lord will come. In Acts 3, verse 19, Peter said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who is preached to you." These two verses, the ones in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, and Acts 3, verse 19, as far as I can tell or read, give the only reason why God hasn't sent the Christ already for the second coming. 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Oh, but the day the Lord will come. God, why are you waiting? To give us time to repent for our people. In Acts 3:19, Peter said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, the times and seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ." What are you waiting on, God? I'm long-suffering. I'm giving people, our nation, our world, time. The Lord will come. But we need to be long-suffering, too. I need to be long-suffering in preaching. I'm not to be discouraged when people don't respond quickly. That's discouraging. That's discouraging. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." So I need to be long suffering in my preaching. And again, long suffering in our relationship with one another. Colossians 3:12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering," in the next phrase, "bearing with one another." Long suffering. Fruit of the Spirit? Yeah, last week was joy. And then tonight it's peace and long suffering. Long suffering. So we'll continue this series in 2 weeks. Next week, Lord willing, Chris has. And this fruit of the Spirit, I put in your notes, it's at the top of your page, Galatians 5, verses 22 through 26. So you can look that up. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. And you're subject to that if you have not obeyed that good news gospel message already. You know, the familiar verses of those last words of Jesus. And I always say that because we would like to know what were the last things people said before we looked. The last time we saw them, what they say? Jesus said in Matthew 28, closing verses, "All authority has been given unto me, in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples." King James says, "Teach all nations." The other New King James says, "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Mark records it, Mark 16, verses 15 to 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." So that's the invitation we extend. All of this said, you can go everywhere. That's a good message. That's a message of salvation. So we're subject to it if we have not done that already. So let's stand and sing the song that Dennis has desired. If that's your resolve, simply let it at the close of the song.